Blog Talk Radio.
Finally, I'm finally free. Finally, I'm finally me. Finally, I'm finally free.
Installment of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. My name is Jamie. I am your host. Tonight, our episode is with Kayona Ebony Brown. She is the creator of Music and Men. Great project that she's working on, and this is definitely the show for you if you are a content creator, artist, writer, actor. You really want to get your content out there, but you're independent and you need the crowdsourcing and funding to get it off the ground. Please listen in. Very important show. Make sure you've got a pen and paper and you're taking notes on this one. Before I introduce our guest, I do want to let you know this is a one-on-one interview tonight, so it's just me. But I do want to make a few announcements before we get started. Check out Zazzle.com/blurredgasm. We have a lot of products on there that have the BGN logo on it. So we've got mugs and mouse pads and pens and all type of stuff for you to look at. And all of the funds from that website does go back to fund these podcasts. So it's definitely important that you check it out and you support it. And, you know, Christmas is coming. So if you want to get that special gift for that loved one, there's some really great stocking stuffers through the website. So it's Zazzle.com /blurredgasm. And again, thank you for your support for those who have already purchased content and merchandise from the store. Also, this is our last podcast of the year, guys. So we are taking a 2-week break for the holiday for both Christmas and New Year's. So 2014 will be the next time you hear a brand new episode. So please stay tuned if you're going through BGN withdrawal, which I know it is a sickness. I know that that's going to be hard for you guys to not hear a new episode. But be sure to check us out on iTunes, and we're also on Stitcher. So you can always download and subscribe if you haven't already. And if you do currently subscribe to us on iTunes, give us a rating. Let us know what you think, and also put a little comment in there and let us know what you think of the show so far. It's certainly appreciated. But 2014, when I believe it's going to be the 5th of January, will be our first new show. So we're on hiatus until then. And you can always follow us on Twitter at Black Girl Nerds is the Twitter handle, and go to blackgirlnerds.com. We will always provide fresh, new, updated content that is coming from the geek community. So let's get to our amazing guest tonight. Kayona Ebony Brown is a writer, actress, entrepreneur from Washington, D.C. She is the owner of K Inc., an independent, diversified mass media company with activities in music, television, film, publishing, telecommunications, and internet. Her debut novel, 10th Letter, is available in paperback and everywhere electronic books are sold. She is currently working on a fascinating new project called Of Music and Men. Please give a warm welcome to Kayona Ebony Brown.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on the show tonight. I'm really excited about this one. So let's get started. Those of you guys, I'll make sure to put it in on the chat room. The website is ofmusicandmen.info, and I'll make sure to put that in there. But why don't you tell us, what is Of Music and Men?
Of Music and Men is a multimedia franchise, and it consists of music projects, literature, and it has a television show of the same name. And it will be a very multifaceted experience that is seldom experienced or seldom created by independents, and I'm very, very excited about it.
Awesome. So there's a TV show component to Of Music and Men. So tell us what the TV show is about.
Well, the show is about a young woman, a young single woman, trying to build an independent record label while also trying to navigate the worst city in the world for single women. And a lot of people don't know that. Statistically, it actually is Washington, D.C. So it's a comedic drama that, with all of the other elements and characters and things that I've put into it, it will give you the, sort of a similar feel as Entourage meets Sex and the City. I like to describe it that way. Mm. And the show part of it is loosely based on my own life. I'm a bit of a serial artist, entrepreneur, and one of my longtime dreams was to have my own record company. So after several years of working in radio and interning with almost every major record label, I met an artist by the name of Khalil Ismail. He's out there. You can look him up. But I met him a few years ago, and he needed help at the time with some administrative things that, you know, he was doing. He's the artist, and he needed help on that back end, the business side. So instead of just helping him, I went into it with a business mindset. And since then, Khalil Ismail has been all over the world. He's released 4 major projects, and he's done pretty well. But at the same time, I am a young, single, female woman navigating Washington, D.C., as I mentioned to you, which, like I said, most people don't know it's arguably one of the bleakest cities in this country for single women. Actually, mm-hmm. while I was developing the show, I came across this article that read, and I quote, D.C. has the highest number of same-sex relationships and the lowest marriage rate in the country. And
wow.
I thought to myself, yeah, I know. And I thought to myself, this is something that I can use. This is definitely something I can use. So using that aspect of my life, I had my show. And like me, my main character has no money. She has no help. She has, you know, she doesn't know anyone of any real significance. And by all accounts, the 2 artists that she's working with are the wrong kind of artists if you want any kind of success. But we'll watch every single episode to see just how she makes it and every step that she takes towards success.
Wow. So this show, is it something that you're launching via a web series, or are you trying to get it pitched to a network? Where's your angle with the platform that's going to be used to broadcast the show?
Well, and that's a pretty good question, because when I first started to develop the show, in my head, I had this very popular cable network in mind, and I said, it fits this network. It fits right in with a lot of the things that they're doing, and I think that it would be successful on this type of outlet. But as I started to implement so many other business components to this franchise, because as I mentioned, A Music a Minute is not just a television show. It's a franchise that consists of other elements. I realized, and I actually embraced more of an independent businesswoman mindset when going with this. So to answer your question, I'm not completely against doing something with a major cable television network, but I have outlined and planned through my business plan, I've planned a way for success without it.
How did you come up with the concept for this franchise and from Of Music and Men as a whole?
As a whole, okay. Well, a few years ago, I wrote and put out a book called Tenth Letter, and you can get that anywhere online that books are sold. It's spelled out the word Tenth Letter. And the book got great reviews, although it was, in my opinion, it was very far from considered successful with regard to sales. Tenth Letter is about a woman named Jay, hence the Tenth Letter of Alphabet. but it has a few reasons why it's called Tenth Letter, but that's usually the catchiest, most obvious one that I like to throw at people. Her name is Jay. And she pursues her relationships, and I always say, quote, like a man. And I'm not trying to offend men, but stereotypically, she pursues her relationships with no emotion, no love, and it's just a physical type of relationship. And, of course, the book goes and, you know, it shows her evolution and all of that, but it kind of hooks people with that. And in that book, you meet two of her friends. Ty, who is the polar opposite of Jay. She's very conservative, Ivy League educated. She comes from a good family with values and tradition and marriage and morals and all that good stuff on her mind. And you also meet her other friend, Kenya, who takes the lead in Of Music and Men. Now, Kenya is a very unique, kind of quirky, you know, kind of nerdy young lady who is a, you know, she has that side, but she's a beast when it comes to dealing with business and music for her two artists. You know, but she's also very inexperienced when it comes to men and kind of clumsy, kind of silly when it comes to guys. So those three women were in Tenth Letter, my book. And so looking at it with this show, it's actually a prequel to Tenth Letter. We're meeting these young ladies 2 years before the story in the book. They're all a part of the show, and we follow their unique experiences in D.C., not just Kenya's. So we use Kenya, you know, to narrate to us, and she's, as I mentioned, she's kind of quirky. She doesn't really know what to do when it comes to guys, even though she has this immense confidence when it comes to dealing with music. So we see that kind of sort of two personality type things with her. But as I mentioned before, some of the comparable shows that I compared this to, you see a group of women. These are three completely different women and their experiences. And what I mentioned was the bleakest city. I hate to keep driving that home, but it really is not great, you know, for single women. And this is regardless of race. This is not just, you know, an African-American woman thing, or like we have a huge Latino population here. And Jay in the book is of mixed descent. So it's not a cultural thing. It just is for women in general that the city has this issue. So that's what, you know, that's where the idea for the show and all of the other components came. The book was already there. The book already got pretty good, you know, I'm not going to say pretty good, it got great reviews. And so, you know, I knew that the book wasn't done, even though I didn't have anything left in me to continue trying to push forward with it in just that physical book format. You know, I wanted to create something else, another way of telling a similar story. So just switch the narrative. Instead of Jay narrating, she plays a bit of a supporting role in the show, but Kenya is now narrating, and we get a different perspective introducing the music, which, as I mentioned, my experience with running a small record label, we kind of introduced that component to it.
And I know you had mentioned earlier about the stats with Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. which is a non-traditional location for a TV series. So what was the story behind filming it in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, wanting everything to take place there. Well, you know, I'm from D.C., so most most artists, particularly writers and directors and people like that, tend to lean toward where they're from for some of their earlier stories. So I can say that's a bias there. But I feel like there's a lot of unexpected elements there in here in D.C. that will drive the story. We love shows, and I know that your listeners probably love shows like House of Cards and Scandal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, honestly, and I love those shows too, but those shows give you what you expect when you see D.C.
Right.
People who have never been here or who've only visited, they think of laws and politics, and that's what D.C. is to them. So with this story, with the TV show, the music project, the book, Tenth Letter, all of that having taking place here, it gives you a totally different perspective. I went to a school here, a very popular school here called Duke Ellington School of the Arts. So it's an art school. My experience with the city is not legal and it's not political, okay? It's artistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an artsy type. I mean, when you meet me, most people don't forget, you know, you see me in the grocery store, I have a huge, huge bush, a huge curly bush. And so it's big natural hair, you know? Can't forget that. So it's that artsy side of the city. And you wouldn't believe how many people are actually surprised that when I tell them I'm from D.C., born and raised, they didn't know that D.C. actually had people that were born and raised here. They think it's a city where, you know, people only come.
Which transplants.
Right. Right. But, you know, what's that?
Oh, no. People assume that there's a whole bunch of transplants that live there.
And it is. It is. But there is, you know, some of us who were actually born and raised here. And, you know, so we have something about this city that we can relate to the Philadelphias, the Atlantas, the New York, Chicago, L.A., and that's dating, that's art,
mm-hmm.
and that's music. You know, and it's business, dating, art, and business. I won't limit it to music, but dating, art, and business. Every single city, small or large, can relate to those things, and that's something that we introduce in this show.
Awesome. So I'm just going to address a few tweets here. We've got a question as well, but just some of the comments here so far. So Ashley, Must Love Horror on Twitter, says she truly admires Keona Ebony Brown channeling what is frustrating for many women into something creative and positive.
Okay.
And Melody on Twitter says, I love when shows and stories don't take place in NYC or LA. There's more to the world than just those two places. That's so true.
It is. It is.
And then our question on Twitter is from Cynthia Linnell, Unicorns and Glitter. She says, is writing a business plan prior to starting the crowdfunding campaign necessary?
Well, I can't speak for everyone, because I'm pretty sure that there were some Kickstarters or there were some Indiegogos that actually, you know, the people just came together and said, look, we want to do a project and let's just go do it. And I've had some friends who did that, and that was very unsuccessful. And so, you know, taking heed and looking at that, and we'll get into that later. I'm pretty sure Jamie and I talked about, you know, how this crowdfunding aspect of things have gone for Music and Men. But, I mean, I think it all depends on your perspective artistically. As an artist myself, I have done the art part before, so that was easy. But being able to step aside and not rush to art and say, you know what, there's a business component to art, and there should always be a business component that is taken into consideration. After I wrote a bunch of episodes, I wrote like 10 episodes. You know, it took a few months, but I wrote like 10 episodes for the show. I said, you know what, stop, because it's pointless to sit here and write 10 episodes. How are you going to film it? How are you going to get money to film this? How are you going to, you know, in order to do any of it, you would need money, and I'm not sitting on, you know, a large bank account. So I had to step away from the art and focus that writing, stop writing episodes and start writing business plan. And in writing the business plan, a lot, it really manifested into something huge. Which is why I can't really call this a television show. It's more to it. It's a multimedia
right.
franchise. And that didn't even come out until I wrote the business plan. Like being able to articulate multimedia franchise, I wasn't
mm-hmm.
able to say that until I wrote the business plan. So sometimes in writing your own business plan, you start to understand what you are doing in the larger scale of this business of art than you would just by focusing on the art. So I guess to answer the question, for me, and I would advise anyone to jot down, it doesn't have to be so formal, but jot down some business things about whatever the art is that you're doing, and you will be surprised just how enlightened you will be even about the art, just in focusing on some of the things you want to accomplish business-wise.
Wow, that's good stuff. And then folks that are listening in, I don't know if you want to talk to us or not, but if you're calling in, just make sure to hit 1 to talk to the host. But our number is 347-237-4616 if you do want to chat with us. Otherwise, I know some folks like to just call in so they can listen via the phone as opposed to listening it through the internet, so that's fine as well. So I did want to get to how this all came about with the unique approach that you have. You're using a very unique approach through crowdfunding on this project. Explain to us the use of e-commerce and what inspired you to come up with this idea as opposed to just going through Kickstarter.
Okay, so as we pretty much, well, we haven't really mentioned it yet, but to everyone that's listening, she mentioned crowdfunding, but I'm not using Indiegogo, I'm not using Kickstarter, I'm not using GoFundMe, none of those things. Although I admire their panache, you know, I admire their business savvy for being able to capitalize on us artists because that's what they're doing. I felt, you know, as a businesswoman, stepping away from the art again, that this project was much bigger than that and it deserved more attention than just let me throw up something and beg for money for 3 months and hope for the best. So I created a website. I hate to say it that way, but, you know, essentially that's...
No, that's real, though.
But, you know, I created a website, and I'm not going to lie, it took months. It took between between May and October. And it officially did a soft launch in November, and now we're up and running. So it took those months to do, and it's called the OMAM Fund, which stands for The of Music and Men Fund.com. We'll tweet that out to everyone. But it is a crowdfunding/e-commerce site. So as an entrepreneur, I'm always looking for some way that I can do it myself. I'm like, if Kickstarter can do it, let me look at what they do and study them, and let me make something specifically for what I'm doing as opposed to just using them. So as a black girl nerd myself, I happen to have a little bit of experience in the technical side. I will say I am not a web designer at all. I'm not a graphic designer. But I have done websites and graphic design before, and so I was able to utilize those skills to make this website. So when you go to the website, you see a little bit of traditional crowdfunding. You see little packages that you can buy that will get you involved as an audience member or just as a fan or investor, whatever you want to be, a business, another business person. You can get involved that way. But then on the flip side is the e-commerce store, which we have a boatload of T-shirts and, you know, hats and cell phone cases and things like that that will keep you involved. So it's one thing to get you involved. You know, you give your little $10 or you give your great, you know, $15 or whatever it is that you can afford to give. But then on the flip side, you're always involved because we're going to do some things that allow you to stay involved with us throughout the duration of the project. And that may be years. So this site is never going to come down at any point. It's not going to be over with. It's not a campaign that just has a few months to run and then it's going to be done. No, this is a part of the marketing for the show. I mean, for the franchise, pardon me.
Now, you created what you just mentioned, the OMAMfund.com. Now, is that a separate entity from ofmusicandmen.info? And explain what that is exactly.
Both of those lead you to the same thing. I actually went back. I set up this site on ofmusicandmen.info, and then I realized, you know, folks like a .com, you know, just point blank. It's just easy to remember and say the oldmanfund.com. So they lead you right to the same thing, but they are different from ofmusicandmen.com, and I hate to throw out too many of them. The .com for the show will actually be the creative hub for the show, talking about actors and, you know, our process and behind the scenes and all that. But because we're not there yet, A Music and Men Fund is the business side of everything. That is the sort of Kickstarter meets Amazon store that was set up for you to get involved with the show and all of that. So although I do like the idea of Kickstarter and all that, the business model just didn't work for us. They have pretty limited timelines and low stipulations for artists and all that, your credibility. And I didn't like the all or nothing thing, where I set some goal, and I want to make $50,000, and then if I get $49,000, then, you know, I lose everything. I didn't like that. And that was just one thing. So this business model is more personalized. for the business and the marketing of this franchise. And basically, it helps us to build relationships as a business and not just an art project looking for handouts.
So tell me your background. I mean, you said that you're an actress and you're a writer, but do you have business experience? Did you come up with this business plan with a team? What kind of historical background did you have before getting into this kind of project?
Well, I am an artist, first and foremost. I love to tell stories, both as an actor and a writer, because I believe that actors, you're portraying. And so that, you know, I get a chance to act out stories in that way. And it's good. That's really good for my ego, I will say, being able to act out everything. The business side, it started with the music stuff, you know, that dream of wanting to, because I was a DJ when I was 6 years old. Like, my mom bought me turntables. I was a kid DJ at 6 years
wow.
old. But, you know, yeah, I was spinning records at, like, all of our house parties and everything, but part of me, I would look at that label, and it wasn't until I was an adult that I realized that a record label was actually called that because of the label on the record. You know, you don't know that as a kid. But when I mm-hmm. saw that this record, that this literally this record was given to me or provided to me by a company that oversaw, and I started to study what it was that record labels do and all of that, and I was just fascinated, not by the grimy part of the music business, but by the fun part of the business, the fun part of the business. And I was so enamored by Russell Simmons. I just love him so much. I still do. Mm. And a part of me wanted to do that. So I got the chance, as I mentioned earlier, I did get the chance, or have the chance, because I still do it every day, had the chance to live out that side of my dream with Khalil Ismael. He is, an incredible artist. And I had written a business plan for that record label prior to meeting him. And when I met him, it was like, this guy is putting out or wants to put out the kind of music that I would love to put out to the world. Good, positive stuff, you know, good, well-written, well-put-together, well-produced, and I just really wanted to help him. So that's where the business stuff came from. But a part of the business savvy came from failure, believe it or not. I'm a huge fan of Walt Disney. I want my company to be like his one day.
Wow.
And Disney wasn't Disney until he failed multiple times. And
right.
I'm not too good to say that I had several artistic projects that I tried to run the business side of things that failed miserably. I mean, you know, I put a bunch of money into the money that I had at the time into it, and then going into a music and men, I don't have any money to put into it, hence the crowdfunding, but, you know, put a bunch of money into some other things that didn't work out. And so, so that's where the business side of everything comes from. It's more so just an experience. And I have to. You know, you have to. If you're not given an opportunity, because some people are fortunate enough to be given an opportunity. You know, they may work and they're just in the right place at the right time. But if you're not, and you have to kind of create something for yourself, it really does take a lot of faith, which I have. I'm a deeply spiritual person. And being able to listen to what, you know, listen to where you're being led, listen to what God is trying to tell you. And that's where I am now. And so all of this comes from that.
What are some of the steps that you can take from someone that maybe doesn't have a lot of business experience, for someone that's thinking, oh, wow, creating a business plan is really daunting and just feels like it's something that's overwhelming? What advice would you give to folks that are interested in your approach, but they just don't know what steps they can take to do it or don't have the resources to do it?
One of my biggest resources has been Google, and I in no way work for Google. I have no relationship with Google, but it really—I mean, the internet as a whole. I'm being silly by mentioning Google because it could be Wikipedia, it could be anything. But just utilizing the internet for what it is. Really get on it. Type in the word business plan. Just start there. It wasn't until actually a few weeks ago that I was able to say that Of Music and Men is a multimedia franchise because I was researching Disney as a way of saying, what is it that they do? What is that company? What is it? I mean, we know about the theme parks. We know about the cartoons. We know about the movies, the books. That's what I want to do, but what is that company called? It's not just called a company. And when I did the research, Wikipedia, it was called a mass media company. I said, okay, that's it. That's what I have. I have a mass media company. Mm-hmm. And so it just really takes trying to find an example of what it is you want to do. Research your example. So I liked Russell Simmons. loved him, loved Russell Simmons, and just as a kid, and when I say kids, this is, you know, 16, 17 years old, got Russell Simmons' book, read his book, and I said, I want to do some of the things Russell has done. And so it was just a matter of researching Russell. So if you don't have to know anything about, I didn't know anything about business at 16, but researching Russell led me to understand a lot more of what, you know, what he did. And, of course, my life is not going to be like Russell Simmons's. But just being able to listen to that story, or rather read that story, and just to know his story, you can start to try to walk in his path, but trust me, we all have a totally different path. Even if we try to walk like Russell Simmons, walk in his shoes, our path is going to lead us somewhere else. We're going to have exits right. and tolls that he didn't have.
Right.
And, you know, and the same thing. I love Oprah, you know, the same thing there. I'm going to have a different path than her, but it didn't mean that I didn't start by studying her. So that's a fun thing that any artist, most of us already do, but any artist could do. Look at a person you like. What is it that they're doing that you like? Where did they start? Oprah started in radio, and I mentioned I started in radio. You know, so I don't have a talk show, but I'm having a show in some other kind of way, all because, you know, studying Oprah and trying to copy her. Like I said, God will lead you down your own path, but you have to start, you know, taking the initiative and doing a little bit. So forget about, you know, I mentioned business plan. That does sound intimidating. Ooh, business plan, you know, financial plan, sponsorship package. I'm doing all of that now because I have to. And thank God that, and I'm blessed with the, you know, the mind to be able to do those things. But at a, you know, I'm pretty sure there are millions of people listening, and those millions of people don't, you know, have the wherewithal to go and do a business plan. Forget about the business plan. Study Oprah. You know what I mean? Study Russell Simmons. Study Steve Jobs. Study the people you want to be like, and the business plan will come. It will come by itself.
Wow. And one thing you touched on, which is so on point, and I agree with you 110% because I can testify to it, is the Google, the Google mentality. I mean, when in doubt, Google. Honestly, a lot of the stuff that I've learned with creating a website, building a blog platform, social media marketing, I learned it through Google. I went on websites and I saw what other websites were doing with respect to how they were getting people to go to their website and doing content sharing back and forth. All of that stuff I just learned by Googling on the internet, and even just learning little bits and pieces of how to do code, I just learned on the internet. So I think that that is very important to say that, because some folks think that you need a degree, that you need to have professional experience, and that's not always the case. Yes,
right.
There are certain fields that do require a certain level of expertise. We're certainly not denying that, but I think that if you are inspired to go and do a project and you feel like, well, gosh, where do I start? Go to Google.
And now the funny thing is you can actually type in exactly that. Where do I start?
Right.
And you can say, where do I start with acting? Where do I start with running a tech company? Where do I start with running a shoe company? You can just type that, and you will be surprised what comes up.
Exactly. And then we've got YouTube, where people have tutorials, video tutorials on how to do things. So now you're seeing the visuals. So I just think that this is a good time in our internet media culture that we can be able to just immediately go to the net, find the materials that we need, find the resources that we need to how to do a lot of the things that what you're doing. So I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you for mentioning that. Because it's true. It's very true. What advice do you have for independent content creators who want to film their own web series, want to create maybe their own web comic book series, using your e-commerce method? Because one of the things that I love about this site, and folks, her website is ofmusicandmen.info. You've got this great source of material where you've customized your packets, your kind of the Kickstarter motif with all of the different packets and incentives you give to respective donors. So what advice do you have for content creators that are looking to go with your approach?
That whole ground-up approach, not relying on – a lot of people don't know there's a huge percentage that's taken off when you get into some of the other people's platforms. And that's, again, that's okay if that's where you have to start. But for folks who want to maybe start from the ground up, I will have to say that it does take a little bit more, you know, Google searching about, you know, how to do this, how to do a website and all that. If you have a friend who does websites, you know, talk to them about, do they know anything about e-commerce websites? There are a bunch of templates, there are a bunch of themes out there that will help you when it comes to, and you can Google that, Google website themes or website templates, and you could probably buy a template for, you know, a little less than $100. I think, you know, some of the good templates are around $60, maybe $75 or something like that. But, you know, you find something that works for you. Now, for me, as you mentioned earlier, with doing a lot yourself, it was a lot. I mean, I actually did all of those logos and all of the intellectual property that you see on there, which is my logos, my all of the different logos, setting up the store and all that. That was something that I had to, you know, actually take the time and sit and do. And I do understand that a lot of people, particularly artists, don't have the time maybe to do some of these things. But, you know, someone who I may have had the time to do certain things, and some people may have more resources than I do. They may be able to hire someone, or they may have different friends in different areas of expertise. So it's kind of hard for me to give someone direction because I only know, you know, what I had to work with. I had done a few websites before for myself because I had to, so I said, you know what, I'm going to try to do e-commerce. I'm going to see how that works, and I just researched the heck out of it, seeing what needed to be set up so that I could pay the lowest fee or no fees at all. As a matter of fact, I'm not paying any fees on the front end, any.
Wow.
On the front end. The fees on the back end are so low that, you know, I don't want to get too techy, but they're just very low on the back end. You know, just researching what's out there, researching how to do it. And there are just so many ways. And yeah, I can't tell anybody to go any one way, but if you don't want to be subjected to, you know, running a campaign for 45 days or 90 days and hoping for the best, mm-hmm. then, you know, I would suggest kind of doing more research on e-commerce websites as a way to set up your crowdfunding more as a store, because you can think about it in the long term. A store should always be around. It should always be available. It should always be offering more, whether it's T-shirts or mugs or playing cards. We have a whole bunch of stuff on there. So that website is going to be around for as long as the project is around. And at any moment during the project, I mean, you guys might be watching episode 3 or 4 next year doing, you know, and you may say, you know what, I like this show. I want to go and buy a T-shirt, and part of the proceeds of the T-shirt goes to the show. Or you might say, you know what, I want to go and donate to the show because I want my name in the credits maybe for season 2 or something like that. And at any point, you have the opportunity to just be a part of us, be a part of our show.
So you're giving a lot of folks options on how to invest their monies into the show and into the website.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. The web design on your site is impeccable. When I first looked at it, I was just like, I love it. And I was so impressed when you told me that you did this by yourself, and that, is it true you didn't have any web design experience?
I'm not going to say I didn't have any experience. All of the experience, though, was self-taught.
Wow.
You know, just in doing things before. Like, for instance, I had it when I first published my book, it was a traditional kind of / website that I paid someone $1,700 to do. So that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then, they did the website. But within a couple of months, I realized that, you know, although it was a very cute website, you know, we were transitioning into mobile devices. And the website has to be what they call responsive, which means when I go to my cell phone, I have this flat cell phone now, iPhone, Android, or whatever, the website should change shape to accommodate your cell phone or your tablet. It shouldn't
yes.
look the same way it does on your computer or your desktop. So when I realized my flash website wasn't even coming up on my iPhone, let alone changing shape, I realized that, hey, I need a new website. And so, but at the time, I didn't have $1,700 extra to go and pay someone else or pay the same guy or whoever to redo it. So I had to learn. And once I realized that you have sites out there like WordPress, which is wonderful, you have Drupal, it's so many of them. These are just platforms that kind of help you. They kind of like are your training wheels when it comes to that. You can go and kind of play around with, you know, WordPress themes and all of that and figure out what you like. And like I said, they actually have templates out there that help you. They kind of already set up the basics and you can go and buy yourself a template and you can set up the basics for everything. So that's what I did with my first website. And then my artist, as I was working with Khalil, he's a musician, and he had the same problem. First website wasn't responsive. You needed a blog-style website to communicate with your audience better, to integrate Facebook and Twitter and all those kind of things a lot better, because we became way more social in such a fast period of time. I mean, it happened almost overnight. We became so social.
Right.
We needed websites that were complementary. And so he needed it, and we didn't have the money to hire someone. So I poked around and figured out how to do some stuff on his website, and lo and behold, it was, you know, I was actually pretty good at it. The graphic design part came, I had to do all of that stuff for my book. Publishing the book, I had to actually design business cards and bookmarks, and they looked like crap in the beginning, I'm not going to lie. I mean, it really looked like total crap in the beginning. But and then I had the nerve to go and print 1,000 of them, right? So printed 1,000, it looked like crap, but I kept doing it, you know, kept redoing all of the graphics and playing around with, you know, those, they have free applications. Look for things that's free. I mean, goodness, when you don't have a lot of money, you can find things that's free. And, you know, again, surfing that nifty internet, found some free things to get graphics done and all of that. So, the website that you see now has been after, you know, 3 or 4 years of practicing on myself. And I said, before I roll this thing out, it has to be really nice. You know, because it meant so much more at this point. It has to be really nice. So I kind of pulled out all the stops on this one. So that's what you see there now of musicandmen.info.
So it took you about 3 years to really cultivate this site to being where it is now. And it sounds like to me that for you it was more about making sure that you really knew what you were doing when you were creating the website, that you took all of the necessary steps to make sure that your site was fully functional before doing a full launch of the Of Music and Men fund.
Well, it didn't take 3 years. I was just saying in 3 years with me kind of just doing, I wouldn't say that I didn't have any website experience. It was just over the past 3 or 4 years kind of playing around with other sites that I needed to launch for other business interests and just other friends who may have needed websites. Now, when it came to this website didn't come about until earlier this year. It actually came out about earlier this year. So it took me a few months. It didn't take years for this website. It actually only took a few months, which felt like a lot longer for me because, you know, just when you're in it, it feels like a lot longer. But it took a few months to research, you know, how to accept credit cards legally, how to, you know, because you don't just go on a website and click PayPal and you're done with it. We actually accept all major credit cards. And then we can also do bank transactions and all of that. So it just, you know, it took a little bit of time to research those kind of non-fun components. That part wasn't fun. But, but now, you know, it's a fully functioning website. It looks like, you know, some professionals did it. If you want to get into e-commerce, there are a lot of platforms, but I will say look up Stripe. In your spare time, just look up Stripe.com. And some of the techies might already know about it. And if you want to get into being a techie, it's just a good website. I don't, you know, have any interest with them, but I happen to find their product and use it, and I like them. And so I would tell anybody to look up Stripe. And you'll know what to do with it if you're deciding to start a website.
Back to Of Music and Men, the project, okay. you're working with some actors. Are you working with any actors or talent that we may know?
you know what? Right now I have some folks in mind for I will start off by saying this, that at this point I thought I would be able to just go into so much detail about certain people that I'm excited about, but unfortunately I can't really divulge, you know, too much information about it because, you know, everything isn't quite set in stone just yet. However, I can say that some of the people who I really, really want are people, are artists and musicians who are up and coming. They have started, they've done a lot of things on their own as independents. Maybe not so much business-wise, some of them business-wise, but they've done a lot as independent, and you, when you see them on there, you're going to say, oh, my God, you know, like that person. But these are some people who I have in mind for the project. But right now what we're doing is we're talking to a lot of folks and we're building relationships. I can say at least that much. We're building a lot of relationships. Plus, another cool component that I will throw out there to the show The show, of the main character gets the chance to experience live performances by independent musicians. Every single episode is a different indie musician that she gets to experience. Sometimes she experiences it traditionally, meaning she went to a club or something and so-and-so was playing on stage. Or sometimes she might run into them somewhere and they play like a live set. I mean, it's just pretty cool that way. So if you are an independent musician or know of one, send them to the site. We have forums on there for actors and crew members, like people who want to be involved. And we're always accepting, you know, we get tons of emails even at this point early on. The show's, I mean, the site's only been up for a month, but we're getting tons of emails from people who say, you know what, I want to be an actor. I mean, I am an actor or actress, and I want to be involved. I really beg musicians to do that because, yeah, we're looking for some musicians to get involved with this first season of the show. So, unfortunately, can't give you any of my actors that I have involved, but I really, really have some folks that I know you guys would like, especially out there in the digital world. I know you guys would like some of these people.
Wow, that's awesome. So you're providing an outlet for independent artists to be a part of the experience as well. So
almost solely independent. I want to keep it. I want folks who have been, like myself, working hard, but no one has really, like, jumped on them and said, hey, we love you and we want to make you a superstar. And there's so many musicians who are out there, so many artists in general, actors and so on. But specifically for the musicians, there's so many of them out there. I mean, they have their stuff together. They have a social media presence. They have websites.
Mm-hmm.
They're just doing their thing. They're doing shows. And so they don't get the chance to get their song featured on Grey's Anatomy or whatever. They don't get the chance to get appearances on MTV or whatever, or, you know, some of the other music television. So I said, you know what, when I do this, I'm making it solely for independence. So I'm not even, we're not even going to be playing, you know, major label artists. We're not even going to have major label artists come on and perform. It's solely for independence.
Wow. I love that. that's good stuff right there. And our BGN theme music song, finally, Carolyn Malachi,
mm-hmm.
she's one that comes to mind because
okay.
She's a blurred, she's a techie, and she's a Grammy-nominated artist. So, she would be a good artist for your show.
Okay. And it's not a genre. I will say it's not genre specific. The main character has two artists who are signed to her label. One is a rapper, but the other is a singer-songwriter. So he's like a young Jason Mraz type. So each show, I mean, we may have a country artist on one show because I love country music. And so we may have a country artist. We may have a pop rock. We may have punk rock on the next episode. We may have world music. There's a world music group that I really, really want. I wrote them into one episode, and they have this funky world music. I think they're from, like, Indonesia or something. But they're independent, and they have a following of over a million on Facebook. And Twitter is even more, but they're indie. And they're doing it. So I'm like, you know, these types of people I want, you know, to expose in a different way. We don't get a chance to be on, you know, a scripted television show.
Right. Now, your project is not on the air yet, but what has this process been like, and what are your plans for it?
Okay. Well, right now I'm building key relationships. This, with Black Girl Nerds being one of them, this is definitely your audience is the type of people that I see, you know, being in love with this show, just because they will relate definitely to Kenya and some of the other characters. But I just really think that, you know, building relationships has been a major part of all of this. And I don't have a very big team. As I mentioned before, a lot of the stuff was done by me alone, which probably is why it took so long for certain things, you know, when you're working by yourself. But there are some key people, you know, right now, like my director of photography and just a few key people who are helping to move this thing, move everything forward. And they're a very important part of the business. But like any other indie project, we need funding. And the website alone without any content, because we're not going to shoot our first teaser, our first trailer, until the later part of this year going into the early part of next year. So it won't be until about January that you'll actually, we're talking about a TV show that you haven't even seen even a commercial for yet. So we're working on those marketing aspects of everything. And the website is helping with that. But like any other entrepreneur, I'm not relying on one method of accomplishing this goal. I'm out there, you know, like even just last week, I'm out there pitching to investors. I'm out there talking to sponsors. while also trying to get some key talent on board. Because, like I said, some of these people who I want, who I really, really genuinely want to be involved, although they are upcomers when it comes to Hollywood standards, they're upcomers. In the digital world, they may be some folks that you guys already know and already love, but, you know, they're not going to do it for free. You know, they're
right.
business people as well, and I don't expect them to do it for free. So, you know, a part of this process has been rewarding, but it's been, you know, a beautiful struggle, I'll say, in trying to bring everything together.
Who or what are some of your greatest influences or inspirations?
Well, I'm inspired by so much. As a deeply spiritual person, as I mentioned, it doesn't take much for me or anything, you know, for me to be inspired. And things that may seem insignificant to some people really, really are those things that kind of get me over the hump or move me along. And this has, being this way has helped me remain open to a lot. So my inspiration is driven by the idea of being able to be a vessel for help and change throughout this art and business, you know, and throughout the world through my art and through my business. So I really, you know, appreciate the fact that you've been taking questions from people who may want to know more or who just, you know, are looking for something that moves them out of maybe a space that they're in. So the reason why I do all of this is really to hopefully be used in some way to help other folks. And, you know, so that's why I do this. It's why I'm driven daily to do this. And I'm inspired by stories. For instance, one of my favorite stories and one of my favorite people in the world, he's an athlete. I won't name him, but he's an athlete. He's a football player. His number is 12, by the way. He was drafted number 199, which means that everybody thought 198 people were better than him. But today he's a walking Hall of Famer. He still plays. He has 5 Super Bowl appearances, and he has 3 Super Bowl rings. That's just a story that drives me. I mean, it drives me pretty much every day. And it's not about, because that story tells me that it's not about how you start, but it's about how you choose not to stop. So forget about finishing. It's just how you choose not to stop. So as far as people go, there are a lot of people who inspire me. I would love to one day have the diverse portfolio as Whoopi Goldberg. She's my favorite actress. I love her personally, and I love her professionally. I've never met her, but I hear about a lot of things that she does that no one even knows about. Some things that help move this world. She's the type of person that, you know, we all should aspire to be. She's not all out there, you know, saying, look what I did. It's a lot of stuff she does behind the scenes, and she's a remarkable person, and she's an incredible talent. And I would, you know, pay to be even half of what she is actor-wise. Of course, Oprah inspires me constantly in everything that she does. I really do appreciate her. And Russell Simmons, as I mentioned, to be able to have that kind of influence on a culture, one can only dream of doing that. And so those are some of the folks. You know, if I have to name people, those are some of the people that really inspire me and motivate me and everything.
Are there any other future projects that are in store for K-Ink?
Well, the cool thing is right now we've decided as a business to take all of our sort of focus on our core competencies. My experiences have led me to building of Music and Men as a franchise and as a business in and of itself. So moving forward, just, you know, projecting the next 2 to 5 years, of Music and Men will be our primary focus. Now, for K-Ink, we will have some involvement in some other projects. We have partners that we will be involved in. A good friend of mine has a company called Checkmate Studios, who's doing some – he's a wonderful storyteller and director, and he's doing some great things, and we'll be partnering with them on some stuff. But this is our main thing. This is our main venture, our main project. And as I mentioned to folks, it's going to have 3 music projects involved with it. On the music side, it's obviously the soundtrack, which we'll be putting together with the many independent musicians who will appear in those episodes. We're going to, you know, get their songs together and put out a soundtrack. But then the cool thing is the 2 artists who I'm going to be working with as actors for the show, as they'll be Kenya's artists that are a part of her record label. My dream for that is to actually put out 2 projects for them. So even though they're going to have projects they work on the show, you should be able to go to iTunes and buy their real projects that you watched them make on the show. Because, you know, the show will follow them and her helping them to make these projects. So you'll be able to buy those. And then there are 2 books. Tenth Letter will be launched as a digital book It's out there now, but I'm launching a writer's edition of Test Letter along with this project as a digital book. You'll be able to get that for your tablets. And then I actually have already written the second part of Test Letter. And so it's done. It's another novel sitting on my computer, but it's done, and that will be the second book to the literary installment of all of this. So the TV show has music, and it has books, and so all of that will take up the next 5 years, I see, just for K Inc., the company.
Wow. We're gearing up into 5 minutes till the end of the show. I wanted to ask you, where can listeners learn more about Of Music and Men and any other future projects that you're involved in?
You can go to KeanaBrown.com or KeanaEbonyBrown.com if you feel like typing in a little bit more. that's my personal site. You know, I go by Keana Ebony Brown, but, you know, you can go to KeanaEbonyBrown.com. Of course, since we've been talking so much about this franchise of Music and Men, by the way, it was inspired by a little nerdy thing here. I know everyone has heard of Mice and Men. We've heard of that.
Yeah.
It comes from a Robert Burns poem. And the quote, the stanza in the poem says, "The best laid schemes of mice and men go often awry and leave us nothing but grief and pain for promised joy." And I read that, and I said, you know what, if I take mice out and put men in, that's the same thing. Men and music leave us nothing but grief and pain for the promised joy. And so I said, you know what, that can be the title of the, you know, of all of this, with Kenya's struggles with music and with men. So that's where that came from. But anyway, you can go to ofmusicandmen.com. You'll still be led back to the Old Man Fund, which is the Of Music and Men Fund, and you'll hear about all this cool stuff we were talking about and the techie side of e-commerce meets crowdfunding and, you know, marketing and all that kind of cool stuff. So that's where you can learn more.
And you're all over social media as well. You're on Facebook and Twitter and all of those sites, Pinterest, looks like.
Everywhere. And I will admit that I do suck at social media. I know the importance, but it's no excuse.
Huge.
I just really do. You know.
You gotta do it.
It is. I know. So I do have pages, but I am very terrible at divulging. I'm so private, so it's very, you know, hard to divulge information. So if it's not related to my business, it's hard for me to like talk about it. So, but anyway, yeah, I'm all over Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, you name it. I do have a page set up. I do put stuff up there.
And it's just to re-emphasize on this, this is just you doing this. You don't really have a whole team of people that's behind this. Is that
not
correct?
Not yet. It's, right now, it has been, I mean, literally, until we start shooting our, you know, our commercials and whatever, I don't want to use any technical lingo with it, but until we start shooting stuff, I do have, you know, some folks that I'm working with for shooting purposes, but all of this business stuff that we've just discussed and all of this storytelling and putting together books and music. I've written the books, written all the episodes, written, you know, all of that website and doing, putting T-shirts up and all that. Yeah, you're right. All of that has been by a one-woman band, you know, which I'm trying to build into a company that hires people. I do understand the importance of hiring and, you know, our economy and all that great stuff. So, you know, Lord willing, I'll be able to contribute to our economy a lot better than I have in 2013. Hopefully in 2014, you know, some folks will get some jobs off this. You know, so that's the goal.
I raise my hand to be your social media manager.
Oh, you know, we're going to have to talk offline because, yeah. Yeah, we need to talk.
You know me, I'm on Twitter like 24/7, so I love doing that stuff. But, Keana, thank you so, so much. This was a really informative show. I think a lot of us listening got some information that we were not aware of before, what the methods and the resources that you use to really build this crowdfunding opportunity. So thank you for taking the time to talk to us. We certainly appreciate it.
And I greatly appreciate everyone who's listening, who goes back and listens, and who has interacted with us via Twitter and other social media. I really, really appreciate this opportunity to reach out to you guys. So thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. And since we won't be back until 2014, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Holidays, everybody, and Happy New Year. We will see you next year in 2014. Take care, guys. Be blessed.
Finally, I'm finally free. Finally, I'm finally me. Finally, I'm finally free.
Finally.